give him some praise for what he's going to do. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks, Mr. Kelly.
Amen, amen. Hey, hug somebody's neck, shake somebody's hand, and you can be seated this morning. So let me just say good morning and welcome to Bethel Assembly. How many woke up with a little bit of a crisp in the air this morning? Come on, y'all. We slept with a window open last night and we woke up a little chilly. So it feels good, always makes you feel good. So it's always cool to come hang out with you guys on Sunday morning and worship the Lord. And so today we're going to continue in our series. We've entitled it Home Sweet Home. Today is going to be our 10th sermon in this series. We've just been talking about home. We've been talking about how the importance of home, what a difference it makes in the home that we grow up in, the atmosphere that we grow up in, the culture that we grow up in our home. It forms us and shapes us for the rest of our lives. And so we're just going to continue to talk about the importance of that. So today we're going to read a very familiar passage. If you've been in church or you've been to Sunday school, you've heard this story. We're going to read today from Luke chapter 15. We're going to read the story of the prodigal son. And my prayer is that God would speak to you a little differently today, that you would see this story in a little different light. We're going to look at a father. We're going to look at a home. We're going to look at two sons. We're going to look at the difference in two sons and how they act and their personalities. And so if you got your Bible, Luke 15, you got your phone, you got your iPad, taking notes, it'll be on the screen, but we're just going to read. I'm going to read verses 11 through 32. Quite a bit of reading this morning. And so just pray that you can focus with me and that we can listen to the Word of God, and then we'll unpack it. We'll pray, we'll unpack it, break it down, see what the Lord would say to us. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start in verse number 11. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of those sons said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me." So the father divided his property between the sons. Not many days later, the younger son, he gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into the far country. And there he squandered everything he had with reckless living. Anybody can testify with that. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the land, and he began to be in need. So he went and got him a job and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the field to slop the hogs. And when he was longing to be fed, he was so hungry, he was longing to be fed with the slop that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. And then, boom, he came to himself. And he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough bread to eat? And here I am dying of hunger." He said to himself, "I will arise and I will go to my father. I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of your hired hands.' And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said, 'Hurry.' He said to the servants, 'Hurry, quickly bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat and let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the older son, he was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard this music and this dancing, and he called one of the servants and said, 'What's going on in there?' Verse 27, the servant says to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' And the older brother got angry. He wouldn't even go into the party. And his father came out and entreated him. And he answered his father. He said, 'Look, Dad, all these years I have served you. I never disobeyed you. You never gave me that I might celebrate with my friends. But now this son of yours has come home who had devoured your property with prostitutes, and you killed a fatted calf for him? And the father said, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It is fitting to celebrate and to be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and now he is found. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Open our hearts, open our ears. Open our minds to hear and to receive in a new way, in a different way. Father, speak to us as parents. Speak to us as wannabe parents. Speak to us as grandparents. Speak to us, God. Challenge us, convict us in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, so I love this story for many reasons. I love this story. It's a great story. At the end of the day, the bottom line, this story, it's a story about family. It's about a family that lived together. It's about a family that had two sons. It's about parenting. How many of y'all know, come on, can we be real? How many of you know parenting is not always easy? Can I hear a good amen? You live and you learn. You make some mistakes. You get some things right. You get some things wrong. This story, it's about a family. It's about parenting. It's about a home. It's about a home. And in this home, we're going to see there's some ups and there's some downs. Come on, somebody. My family is not as good as it looks on Instagram. Come on, y'all. Like, there's some ups and there's some downs. There's some times when we got it right. And there's some times when we made some mistakes parenting in our home. There's some times that we learning from our children. There's some times of, this story is the time of starting over. I mean, of sometimes it's okay to hit the pause button and say, we're going to start over. It's a story of renewing your mind, of going, maybe the way that we've always done it's not the perfect way. Maybe the way my parents did it's not perfect. It's about renewing our mind. It's about having this heart check. This story in the end is ultimately about a home where there's restoration and there's healing and there's home sweet home and a family coming together. And how many know that is what is most important? Home sweet home. Home sweet home starts with parents. Can I just challenge you, parents? It starts with parenting. And we always talk a lot about this. Parenting is hard. Parenting is tough. This father in this story, he had two sons. I got two sons. And as I look at my sons are totally opposite. Come on, somebody. The story we read about this prodigal, that he's got two sons. One is a wild, reckless, little outlaw, go party, live it up, spend it all. And this other one is a son who's a little bit more strict, a little bit more straight-laced, a little bit more who lives life out of duty and religion than he does out of relationship. Two different kids. Isn't it funny? How many of you have more than one kid? Let me see you raise your hand. Isn't it crazy? Like, how in the world does this happen? I have two sons. They are totally opposite. They are from the same mama and they're from the same daddy. They have the same DNA. They were raised in the same home. They attended the same church and they're totally opposite. Isn't it crazy how our kids are that way? Why are our kids so different if we think about that? I think that there's several reasons. One is we raise our children in different seasons of life. Now, how many of you, for me, I grew up and I watched these kids, and I was a young man, and I had a desire to have a home, and I had a desire to be married and to raise kids, and I saw other people's children that were totally misbehaved. And I swore if I ever had kids, I would take my belt off and whip their butt, take them to the barn and get the bridle reins out. My kids would never act like those kids. And so when that season, when we're married and we have that first child, boy, you will line that first child's butt out. Come on, somebody. You make them walk the line, yes, sir, no, sir. You better do it right, do your chores, line up, eat right, don't get no mess. You know what I'm talking about. And that first child sometimes begins to come out and be strict and serious and written. And that second child comes along, you're like, ain't worried about that right now. You know what I mean? Just learn to potty train, learn to say, yes, ma'am, it's okay, whatever. So you raise your kids in different seasons and different times. And my boys say to me all the time, Daddy, if we did what Clara did, you would have beat us to a pulp. Like, I'm in grandpa season with her. You do what you want to do. Ice cream for supper, you bet, baby girl. We raise them in different seasons. And then we have, our children have different personalities. How many of you know parenting? If you can't parent all your children the exact same way. You can't motivate them the exact same way. We're going to see that through this story today. So this father, he has two sons, both different. As I look at my life and I think about parenting my sons, you know what? I hope that I got it right in some areas with my kids. Like, I hope I got it right. And if I'm honest and I take a real honest and authentic look at my life, I got it wrong in some areas with my boys. Come on, somebody. I talk down to them too much with my daughter. I sometimes would whip them with my tongue. I probably whipped them too hard sometimes. I was angry at them. I got it right in a few areas. I got it wrong in a lot of areas. And if you look at this guy in Scripture, he got it wrong with both boys. He has two boys, and he got it wrong with both of them. The first boy, he was way too loose and way too lenient. This young boy came to him and said, "Give me my inheritance, Dad. I want to live my life. I want to sow my oats. I want to go on." And you know what the father did? He just gave it to him. He gave it to him. The second son, the older son, we're going to see that he was probably a little too strict on him. That this older son became a little bit self-righteous and lived his life out of duty just a little bit. The young son says, "Give me, Father. Give it to me. Give me everything that's mine." And the father just gives it to him. Red flag. Red flag. Let me know. Our children do not always need what they want, when they want, and how they want it. I know you love your kids, and I know you want your kids to have better clothes than the other kids at school, and I know you want them to have better pickups and better vehicles, and I know you want them to be cooler, but God has this order set up, and it is parents, and parents should instruct and teach their children and train their children, and we can't always give them what they want because they're not mature enough to handle that. I use this story forever. When my boys were growing up, I wanted to give them their first .22. You know what I mean? I just did. It's guns. It's the country. We wanted to go shoot. And at a young age, my boys wanted guns, but they were too immature to be able to handle a .22. So we started with a BB gun and a pellet gun. And when they got to a certain age, we graduated up to a .22. As I look at our world today, can we be real? And as I look at the church today, we have given our kids too much too early when they're too young and they're too immature. And they've went and they've wasted it and they've blown it all up. This young son, this was a bad parenting move when the father gave him his inheritance too early. I mean, you know, as parents, we have to have discernment. We have to have the wisdom. We have to go, this kid is mature enough for that, but that child may not be mature enough for that. You have to have wisdom and discernment and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to be a good parent. Red flag. The man was not mature enough. Instead of just giving our children what they want, we got to give them what they need. And I know in our culture, and I know in America, you know, you know, parents don't have that many rights, and we want to let our kids do this and do that and not tell our parents about it and all this stuff. I'm just telling you, you got to parent your children. And so for us, when we were, and we caught a lot of flack, and I'm just telling you straight up my story, we decided to homeschool. We decided, you know what? We want to be the number one influence in the lives of our children. I'm not saying that we're right and that you're wrong if you don't, but I'm saying for us, we wanted to be the number one influence in our children's lives and not just some random teacher that was hired. That's what we believed in. And we kind of held our kids. We taught our kids the Scripture and we taught them the Word. And a lot of people out there said, "Cody, y'all are just too strict on them kids." And I have this one particular friend, he's a cowboy. And I'll never forget one time I had this conversation with him. He said, "You just got to let your kids live and learn, Cody. You just can't control them too much. You can't control what they hear and control what they learn. You just got to let them go." And I remember thinking, dude, that is not a good theory. And as I look today, and I'm not saying again, I'm not saying I'm right, and I'm not saying that they were wrong, but as I look at this particular man, he has two kids, and his son is about the same age as Will, and he's already been divorced twice and got a couple of kids, and he's living a life of darkness and depression right now. His daughter is in the middle of a divorce with a child. It's ugly, it's reckless, and as I look at him, I just go, if you would have taught and trained your children a little bit more rather than just giving them everything they want, they might have avoided some of the pain they're going through right now. Parents, you want to create home sweet home, you got to parent your children. This father should have said no, but he didn't. He gave him everything. And the young, dumb kid goes and buys whiskey, whores, and horses and everything. Blows it all. Wakes up one day and said, I'm in the pig pen, man. What am I going to do? He comes to himself. He comes to himself and he goes, wait a minute. I've created this scenario. At least this young man didn't blame society. At least he didn't blame the government. At least he didn't blame his father. At least he was mature enough to go, I have created this mess. I made these decisions. I spent that money. I slept with so-and-so. At least he knew where he was a result of his own choices and decisions. And he came to himself and he goes, wait a minute. This is not the life I want to live. This is not the life that God has for me, this life of darkness and loneliness and separation and depression. And he says, you know what? I believe I'll go home. Here's where we see where this father got it right. He may have got it wrong in some areas. He may have given the kid too much. He may have been too loose with him. But this father had created a relationship with his son. And it was an authentic and it was a transparent relationship. And this father had created a home where there was room for grace, where there was room for mercy, where there was room for compassion. He created this home where there was trust. And in the middle of the darkest hour, that young man said, I'm going back to my home sweet home. God help us to create an atmosphere for our children and our grandchildren and our families where in the middle of the struggle, they come running back home. Because at home, I know I can get love and support and help to overcome the bad decisions that I've made. Here's the problem. So many of us, can we be real? Can we be real? Can we be real? So many of us parents, when our kids do wrong or when something goes wrong, we don't accept them with love and compassion and mercy. We want to shame them and condemn them and pour guilt over them and say, I can't believe you did that. How did you act like that? You shamed our name. I taught you better than that. You're a better person than that. And we're driving people away from our home sweet homes. How many know this young man didn't need any more browbeaten or beaten up at that moment? He needed love and acceptance. Luke 15, verse 17 and 18. But when he came to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I'm dying of hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned against you. And the young man makes his way home. And as soon as the father sees the son coming down the road, he breaks and he runs to him and he embraces him and he kisses him and he says, I love you, son. The son came to a place of safety, comfort, and honesty. Can I tell you what our desire should be in raising our sons and daughters? I don't care if you punch cows. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you cut hair or flip chicken burgers. Makes me no difference. What matters to me is that you know that your mother and father love you and care for you and will help you out in the middle of any kind of struggle you might have. Religion, we would create relationships in our home. See, here's what religion does. Religion says this, when I screw up, I got to run hide from my father. But you know what real relationship is? When I screw up and when I mess up, I got to go find daddy and tell him what's going on. And the young man went home and said, here's what's going on. The father loves him. The father accepts him. Now listen, I'm a father. How many fathers in the house say good amen? How many know at this point, fathers would say, son, let me talk to you, big boy. Let me tell you about what you did wrong. But the father had discernment. And the father had understanding. And he knew that later on, there would be time for teaching. Later on, there would be time for looking back and reflection. There would be time later on. But he said, right now, I'm just going to celebrate because you ain't living in the pig pen no more. You sleeping under this roof tonight. And he said, let's celebrate. Can I tell you what I think we suck at? Celebration. We do. We like this guy. The father says, let's party, y'all. Let's have a good time. Let's smile. Let's laugh. Let's cook some supper. Let's break out the fatted calf like my son's on. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on him. Put some new James Nutty boots on that boy's feet. I don't care about nothing else, but right now we under the roof together. We're going to celebrate family, and we're going to celebrate home sweet home. Like, I love to celebrate, y'all. Connor makes fun of me all the time. He said, dude, you'd be rich if you didn't cook so many steaks and have so many good meals out there at the back of your house. I said, I don't care. I don't care if I die. I ain't got the pot to. Hey, I don't care. I just want my kids to celebrate in my home, and I want to celebrate with my wife and just have a good time. And I just think we could all do a little bit better if we'd get over our uptightness and get over ourselves and get over our image and just go, let's just celebrate sometimes. Father said, celebrate because there's restoration. 2 Corinthians 13:11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. That's it. Come back together. Restoration in this moment of celebration. It's when the young son comes back from the pig pen, restored to his father. Now let's make a switch, though. Let's shift. What about this older brother? What about this older brother who has never done it wrong? What about this older brother, Mr. I do everything exactly right? Mr. I am better than everybody else. This Mr. I need to be rewarded and recognized for how straight of a path I have walked. Let's focus on this other guy. Mr. My brother is such an idiot. And Mr. I can't believe my dad is accepting him back. This Mr. Self-righteous guy who is so focused on himself and so focused on what he's done, and so focused on his obedience that he can't even recognize this is a moment of restoration and a moment when we should celebrate. Can I just tell y'all something right quick, y'all? Our churches are full of this kind of people. Do we look down our old holier-than-thou nose at everybody that's not in church on Sunday morning? And I am better than, and I am saved, and you're living a dirty life, and I can't believe that you would post that. And we look down our holier-than-thou self-righteous nose at other people, and we're missing the mark because God is saying this, I just want restoration with those lost and hurting people. This guy, this brother, he's pouting. He's a titty baby. Can I just say that to y'all? He's so full. Listen to what he says. Luke 15:28. Listen to what this brother says. He hears the party going on inside. He's out milking the cows. He's out, whatever, feeding the horses. I don't know. He hears a celebration, and the servant says, your brother came back. Your dad's celebrating. And verse 28, he was angry, and he refused to go into the party. Wouldn't even go in and celebrate. Could have cared less about his brother. Could have cared less that his father's heart was restored because part of his father's heart was back and that he didn't care. And the father came out to him and he goes, look, all these years I have served you, Dad. I've never been disobeyed you. You never gave me so that I could celebrate. It's a whole lot of I and me and my and inward focus on what he had done right. And he goes, but when this son of yours has come in, like he'd already written his brother off. You see this hateful attitude? This son of yours who has devoured your property with prostitutes. You kill the fatted calf. He's angry. He's mad. Can I tell you what this guy had? This guy had the spirit of religion and duty. And you know what else he had? The victim mentality.
You've mistreated me, Dad. You didn't do me right. I deserve better than this. You should celebrate me, Dad. Have you not noticed? Victim. Victim mentality. So you got these two kids. One of them just lazy and a partier and a bum. And you got this other one who lives life out of religion and duty and has a victim mentality and thinks he should be rewarded and everybody should notice how good he is and what he's done. Can I tell you, you or I probably fall into one of those categories. And they're both very, very, very dangerous. And you know what? Can I just say this? This is a little extra. Can I say this to y'all? You know what is the most dangerous of these two? When they're combined. When you have somebody that's lazy, that don't work and won't do anything, but also has a victim mentality and feels like they're entitled to everybody giving them something and doing good for them. And as I look at our world today, I see a couple of generations that are both of these combined. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything, but they think everybody owes them everything, and they play the victim card. We got to be aware. We got to be aware of our weaknesses, and we got to be aware of the weaknesses in our home and the weaknesses in our personalities. I love how this father parented his children differently. The first son comes home, and the dad goes, "Hey, we're not even going to talk about your problems right now. We're just going to celebrate." But the second son, immediately the father goes outside and says, "Let's talk about this right now." We got to parent our children differently. He said to the older son, "It's not about you, dude. Like, you've always been with me. I appreciate you. I love you. Let's get the big picture. We're aiming for restoration. Your brother's home. Come on. Who cares? Let's just celebrate and let's rejoice. I love you, son. But what good is all this home sweet home that we've built if we can't all come together and celebrate and have a meal together in spite of all of our differences, in spite of all of our mistakes? Your brother was lost, and now he's found." Can I just say this right quick? Parenting, you sometimes get it wrong. Can I hear a good amen? Don't let that label you, and don't let that stop you from being a good parent right now. Can I tell you something? Parents, look at me. Parents, look. Sometimes, parents, it won't hurt you to go to apologize to your kids if you know you've got it wrong. Man, there ain't nothing much more humbling than to have to go to your kids and say, "I'm sorry. I spoke a little quickly. I spoke a little sharply. I acted." You know what? Go to your kids and humble yourself and apologize to your kids no matter what age. Can I say this to you kids? Look at me, young people. Look at me, students. Look at me. Look. Appreciate your parents and be thankful for what you have. I know you feel like it ain't perfect, and I know you feel like it could be better, but if you have a home sweet home and a mother or a daddy that love you, be appreciative and thankful and tell them thank you. Conrad, come help me close, please. This father, he missed it. His sons missed it. But in the end, they got it right because there was a home sweet home that they could all come together and bring their struggles and bring their trials and bring their great traits and just live together. They were better because they had a home sweet home. I'm going to say something right quick to you guys. Some of you're empty nesters. Got any empty nesters in here? Some of you are empty nesters. Your kids are gone. And you go, "Well, maybe I didn't do it right there. I didn't right there." Let me ask you, what kind of home are you creating right now? Because some of you have the victim. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? Some of you have the victim mentality. Because none of your kids want to come back to your house. They don't want to come to your house for Christmas. They don't want to come to your house for Mother's Day. They don't want to come to your house for Thanksgiving. You know why? Because you're still not creating a home sweet home in your house. You still want to manipulate and control and put the guilt trip on them and shame them. You know what? Just because you're empty nesters doesn't mean that you can't continue to create a home sweet home, a place of love and grace and mercy and not "I told you so" and not "I wish you would have done" and "you should have spent more time with me" and "why didn't you come here?" Come on, y'all, knock it off. I'm different than Jennifer. Jennifer's different than me. Will's different than Jesse. Jesse's different than Will. Who cares about all that crap? Let's just create an atmosphere where the Spirit of God dwells and where love can dwell. And it's not about what you did or what you didn't do. It's about coming together in the spirit of unity, because when we come together in the spirit of unity, God commands the blessing to be in that place. Create homes, grandparents, aunts, uncles, singles. Home sweet home. Create a place of joy and celebration. How many of you go to your family out of duty? Go to the family gatherings, the family reunions out of duty. No. Go there to celebrate. Make it a place of celebration. Make it a place of joy. Make it a place of restoration that's fun and happy and loving. Make it a place you want to go. Parents, make your home a place where your kids can come. Bring it all and lay it all out there, and you'll celebrate them. Later on, we'll talk about getting it right. Y'all stand on your feet. I got to quit. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Different seasons in life, different places in life. Some parents in here with young kids, Lord, and they need to make some adjustments, and they need to make some changes. Don't let them feel condemned. Don't let them feel beat down. Just encourage them, Holy Spirit. Make some changes right now. Some young people in here that just don't appreciate what they got. Lord, give them a spirit of appreciation for a mom and a dad or grandparents in a home sweet home. For the wannabe, soon to be parents, Lord, let them right now begin to focus on the kind of home that they want to create. Lord, above all, we're so thankful that you're such a good father. And then if we find ourselves in the pig pen wasting all our stuff, that all we got to do is come one step towards you in repentance, and then you come all the way to where we are, and you love us, and you kiss us, and you celebrate us, and you prepare a feast for us, and you change our lives forever. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Challenge, convict, and encourage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord.